This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. Rolling along this morning as we're gearing up for the NFL weekend, the divisional playoffs. And listen, I don't want to be a Patriot hater. I hate that but I just don't want to see him in the AFC Championship game. Is that so wrong? I'm rooting for the Chargers because I like Philip Rivers and I like their story. I like where they've gone this year. This whole season, one of the things Ron and I have been focusing on, Ron being a Charger fan, is that this was a team that was going under the radar for a long, long, long period of time. When everybody was focusing on the Chiefs and looking at the NFC and seeing the Saints and the Rams, and everybody was loving Patrick Mahomes, there was Philip Rivers, 37, 38-year-old Philip Rivers, doing his thing in Los Angeles, and nobody was watching him. Nobody was paying attention, and they don't have a fan base, and they famously arrived in L.A. to no fanfare and to no fans. In fact, a city that went, we don't even want you. And now, at 12-4, they're a wild card team that's to go on the road to face New England. And listen, I got Patriot fatigue. There's a part of me that is as you get tired of the same teams all the time. We saw it the last two Super Bowl runs for the Patriots where America just went, anybody but New England. Oh, somebody else but New England. Last year was a little tough because I don't think we really embraced Jacksonville all that much. However, there is an excellence there that's going on with the Patriots that I don't want to overlook. What they're accomplishing and what they're able to do is pretty remarkable. Now, I have had, in the history of this show, my complaints about the division, about the Bills and the Jets and the Dolphins, not being able to just compete, just to give the Patriots a fight, just to put it together a decent enough team to do something to disrupt what the Patriots are doing year in and year out. Like, give them a divisional race, for crying out loud. Put them in a position to sweat a little bit. Instead, those teams have been pretty awful for the last two decades, occasionally rising up a little bit like the Jets. Dolphins had a little moment in the sun, but not a consistent run. But I'm rooting for the Chargers because I think Philip Rivers and in his play in the National Football League has been refreshing. I got to see him a number of times when I was covering the Broncos in Denver. I'd like to see him take the next step. And I'd like to see the Chargers, this team, get the kind of credit they deserve for this kind of season. Talk about that and a lot more coming up this hour. It is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. It's Tony D, Ron Culver.
Every day can't be hat day.
Take off your hat.
Stop worrying about your hairline today by visiting forhims.com/cheer. That's forhims.com/cheer. You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. More Twitter on the Jerry Jones boat. This is from Sports Hutch. The idea is to use the boat instead of a hotel. Jerry could use it a lot. Games versus the Rams and Chargers, Giants and Jets, Ravens, Dolphins, Jags, Seahawks, maybe the Bears. Bears would be tough to get in there, but all those other teams work out just fine. Do you send the crew? He said he would still fly to the cities. The crew would sail the boat to the designated city, and then Jerry would helicopter to the boat. Yeah, absolutely.
But then what's the point?
That's a lot of
What's the point?
Well, because the boat takes a long time to get there, I guess.
I don't care. That's
you have to go through the Panama Canal.
He can't run his business from the boat.
Yeah, he should. Like if the president can do Air Force One for a while, Jerry can run the Cowboys from the yacht.
That would be fun.
Yeah, I think that would be great. Are you kidding? It's got to take that thing through the Panama Canal, though.
Well, that's, maybe that would be annoying because I've heard that's a long day.
Yeah, it's like traffic jam central.
Heard, right? It's like, you got to wait for this lock to fill up with water, this one to drain. That would get annoying. The first couple would be like, oh, this is cool. And after, 5 hours of it, you're like, all right, I'm done.
Let's get moving here. I only got so many movies I can watch in my theater.
Yeah, but how cool would it be to to cruise, if you could do it right and go to, because I think all the Great Lakes connect, right? Somehow?
I think I don't think he's that far off with the Bears. I think you can do it. I'm not a mariner, but I think there's a way to take a yacht through the ocean connection. It might take a while though.
I mean, the only part I think would become tricky because I know, you know, Lake Erie and Ontario are connected, but there's a, you know, that Niagara Falls thing that's in the way.
Yeah.
That might be kind of tough to go up against.
That's really tough. That's really tough to go up against.
Yeah.
Also, you know, according to Gordon Lightfoot, the Superior, they said, never gives up their dead when the lakes of November come early. So, I mean, that's, you know, you got to be careful there. Whoa. If you're going up to there.
Hey, wait.
Yeah, that the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. You never heard that
there's
song?
There's no poetry allowed in this show.
You've never heard of The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot?
Not.
Yeah. Bam! It's a song that is and a half days. And it talks about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, the iron ore ship that was heading to Cleveland, and it sank in Lake Erie. And it was
the way you read that, man, you were like Maya Angelou just now.
Superior, they said, never gives up her dead in November.
I thought maybe this was, you know, slam poetry hour. I thought you were.
Oh no, not at all. The whole song is
snaps to you.
The whole song is like a description of that night when the boat sank. It's like the chef made some food and the guys ate it, and then by 12 o'clock the water came rolling, and it just keeps rolling. And then it's an endless song about this tragedy that happened in the '70s through the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. So if you're Jerry Jones, you don't want to go to Chicago with your boat in November. That's just what I'm saying. So don't bring it up there in the wintertime.
But in September, go for it.
Go for it. Why not? That's, go up there.
Heard Chicago's beautiful that time of year.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I think you're right, Sports Hutch on Twitter. There's so many cities that he can zip that boat to, especially the Giants. He gets that once a year.
Yep.
Washington? Could you do that? Is there?
Sure.
Of course you could.
Cruise out the Potomac.
And what's wrong with Philadelphia? Philadelphia, too.
Yeah. Right?
Philadelphia is near the ocean.
Isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah. All those old East Coast cities are near waters. It's the only way the colonial people could survive.
Yes, but you know what? Right? He definitely will be taking it to Tampa and Jacksonville.
Of course he will be. Good old Jerry and his boat. So thanks for hitting us up on Twitter over that. Jerry's boat.
I think Seattle would be fun. If he's playing the Seahawks.
It's a long ride, but go ahead. Go do it.
Yeah.
Now remember the Love Boat, the old TV show, the Love Boat?
Of course I do.
Remember they used to go, because it was a West Coast, Los Angeles-based boat, and they always went to Puerto Vallarta, right? That's where they were heading.
Well, that's where all the cruise ships go there.
So that's where you could go, too. Like, he could go there. He could stop there on his way to the Charger game, or the way to the Rams game. Stop at Puerto Vallarta and hang out with Isaac the bartender.
Do you think he can manipulate the NFL to put out a more favorable schedule for his boat?
I would
say,
think so.
Listen, you know, it's like, I'll give it up to you guys. I don't mind playing 3 games in California.
Right. You can set me up with the Rams and 49ers all you want. I'll go to London a couple times a year if you want.
No, but, you know, in a 3-week span.
How long would that yacht take over there?
In a 3-week span. It was like, yeah, I don't mind. We can play the Rams one weekend. We can play the Niners the next weekend. We can play the Seahawks the following weekend.
How long could that boat get to London?
I don't know.
Because remember, like, in the old days, it would be like the Mayflower. It took six months to get to the old days.
Like, the 1950s.
In the 1600s, it took, like, months to cruise the Atlantic. Yeah, now you're cruising at a pretty good speed. I think you can make it in a couple of days.
Yeah, just don't take the same route the Titanic took.
No, you don't need that.
Boat's still trying to get here.
No. I read somewhere they're building a new Titanic.
They are.
And they
want to cruise the exact same time the exact same route.
Stop.
I'm serious.
Why would they do that?
They want to depart at the same time that the original Titanic, and they're like, we're going to take the exact same route.
Why are we playing with history like this, man? Why are we doing this?
Can we get a captain that's more hell-bent on time than, you know, just getting to his destination?
Oh my God! Forget it. Just stop. Stop with it. Just let it be. You know what? You know what? Every time I watch the Titanic,
see if I can park this boat right next to the original one.
Exactly. Every time I watch that movie, Titanic, and every time I'm ever out in cold weather, I think about how cold that must have been for those people on that boat. How freezing that water would be.
You don't think about how much Rose was just a
fat slob on that slab of
wood. Seriously, man. She
couldn't get Jack on there at all.
Scoot over just a little bit. I'm sure Jack would have been fine. I mean, he could have dangled his feet in the water. He would have been okay.
If you just move over, Rose, you could, no, it's too. No, I can't. I'm serious. If you just scoot over just a little bit, it's all I need. I don't even need that much room.
Jack, I'm already touching water.
I just can't. No, Jack, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jack. Yeah, but totally.
There's already water on me, Jack.
Crazy. Freeze to death in the ocean. God. Titanic 2. I don't know if I want to get on there with the. I don't. Because if I have to go, here's the problem with Titanic 2. If I get on there, I'm going steerage, and I didn't like the conditions in the first movie. I didn't like those accommodations down at the belly of the boat with no window. I didn't like near the furnace. I don't need that. No, I have no interest in bunking with a bunch of other steerage passengers dancing on a table.
It's almost like
I have no interest in that.
It's like you were put in a large walk-in closet. Exactly. Here's your room.
You can't eat here, and they lock you down there when the boat is sinking. I have no interest in that. So,
yeah, well, it's like, what was that all about?
Exactly.
God, it's like, you know, we got to get the rich people off first. Sorry.
Yeah. You think that's happening on Jerry's boat? Do you think he's locking up the like his steerage passengers on his boat? No, Jerry saves everybody.
Do you think Jerry just jumps on his helicopter, takes off, and says, Godspeed?
Godspeed. What are you going to do? $250 million.
To his crew of 30 people.
30 people on a crew. That's fantastic. Way to go, guys.
I mean, honest question. Do those boats have lifeboats?
I got to think they do. I have to think nautically you must, right? Like seriously, wouldn't you? Would you have to, like, if you're going to put a yacht out in the ocean, don't you have to, by law, have it? Or because it's a private boat, you can do whatever the heck you want.
I think it's that. Because, I mean, how many times have you walked around a marina lately? I know living in Nashville, you walk around marinas all the time.
I know, all the time, constantly.
But, I mean, the last time you were, you know, you're near the water and you went out and you saw, like, all these, you know, all these different boats, sailboats, yachts or whatever, you know, small yachts, you know, maybe not even a yacht. Maybe it's just a yacht because, you know, compared to Jerry Jones' super yacht. But none of them have little rubber dinghies or rowboats attached.
No,
to them.
That's a good point. They don't look ugly. Look with the boats on the side of it. You're absolutely right.
So
no.
I mean, what's the thing like with the super yacht? I'm looking at all the photos. I mean, they probably have toys. I imagine there's, you know, all these boats come with jet skis.
Yeah, but no. Yeah,
but you can't fit 30 people on a jet ski.
You're just on your own. The thing goes. You're done. So, wow. These are questions I'd love to ask Jerry if I had a chance.
Yeah, we don't want to know about the Cowboys.
No, I don't care about your running game and strategy against the Rams this weekend.
I mean, of course, that's what he wants to talk about. But, you know,
exactly.
we
want the boat.
We want to know about the yacht. We want to know how you're manipulating the NFL schedule from here on.
By the way, speaking of the game, I think Dallas is going to win this weekend. I got a funny feeling they're going to win this weekend.
Against the Rams?
I do. I just got this funny feeling. I think Ezekiel Elliott rushes for over 150 yards. I think Dak just does enough. I just do. I don't know. That defense is good. The Cowboys' defense is good.
I mean, the way they were able to handle the Saints.
Yeah.
That was a test. I mean, I know that, you know, they kind of struggled a little bit last week letting the Seahawks get back into it. And the Seahawks don't really have any weapons that you can really think of. But, you know, the Rams, I mean, they just – I can't remember who said it, but, I mean, and I have to believe that it's true that ever since they lost Cooper Kupp, they have not been the same team.
Yeah. We had Ryan Wilson on yesterday, and he said Ryan Wilson on earlier this week on Monday –
yeah.
And he said the same thing. He said they've not been the same. And yes, they had two wins against two not very good teams to close out the season. It feels like they're back on track. But the two games they played against the Bears and the Eagles, you know, they're showing some vulnerability. The Cowboys can run the ball, and the Rams can't stop the run, and Dallas can stop the run. Dallas is a good run defensive team. So I'm interested in how that plays out. And this is weird feeling I got with the Cowboys. It may be the kiss of death, so I apologize early, but I'm going to stick with it.
You said you've already jinxed them.
I've already jinxed them.
Sorry,
I know
you're
out there going to hate me, and I know I'm going to get blamed if they lose. But never mind. You know, you know what? May the best team win. How's that? How about I not make a prediction and go down that road? 800-777-2907. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio or at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's on SB Nation AM.
Gifting Map is your map for great gifts. Head over to giftingmap.com today. You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Now we're going to talk to Bob Kravitz coming up in about 13 minutes from The Athletic. Covers the Indianapolis Colts on their run this season. Frank Reich and Andrew Luck and the combination there that have really turned their season around. Longtime Cowboys personnel guy Gil Brandt tweeted this on Monday night. He said, if I was running an NFL team, I'd be making trades for as many 2021 picks as I could get my hands on after seeing Trevor Lawrence the other night. Now, look, I know it's hard that he's got to play two more years of college football when he could go into the league today. But do we really would we really want an NFL that had 18, 19-year-old kids in it?
No,
not at all. Right. Let's be honest. We don't
no, we
want
have.
This.
I mean, there's issues with having kids in their early 20s.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of these kids can't handle it.
No. And listen, I know it's when you're 18, you could go to war and you could go. But this was a business decision by the league to say and negotiated with the Players Association to say, look, we don't want our league filled with 18, 19. Their bodies are still maturing. They're still growing. You're still developing and going up against men. I mean, really real, 25, 26, 31, 32-year-old men. That's a big difference. And in the other thing about college football, to the NBA, of course, when you go to the NBA, you're such an elite level athlete. I mean, the large amount of basketball players in the globe, narrowing it down to 15 guys on a team for 30 teams in the NBA is just an elite level. And I know the NFL's got bigger rosters and whatnot, but to play in the ACC like Trevor Lawrence did, and then to immediately as a 19-year-old kid go to the NFL to play superstars of conferences all in every position, that's a tough develop. You got to develop into that. You got to grow into that. You can't just throw it in there. We've seen NBA guys, light up the league at 18 and then or burn out of the league at 18. And I don't want an NFL where I got 19-year-old kids going into the league. I would worry for them. I'd worry for their health. I'd worry for their maturity, especially when you think, and Trevor Lawrence may be the exception, but there's always, you never make an exception for the rule. I mean, there's an old saying like about bad law, right? So tough policy makes bad law or something. Circumstances make bad law. Meaning like when you see somebody in a tough circumstance, you don't create a law around that because the trickle down effect could be something larger and be more problematic. So when you see Trevor Lawrence and you say, well, that kid's big enough. That kid's he's mature enough. He was raised right. Right. He can handle being a face of a franchise at 19 years old. All of the things that you would want your quarterback to be coming out of college, Trevor Lawrence may fit that now. He may. It's totally true. But by allowing him to do that, it opens the door for others that aren't ready for that. And believe me, you don't want the league built on that, right? I mean, the burnout rate for that position is already tough enough when you think about how quickly teams kind of give up on first-round draft picks that don't perform right away. Paxton Lynch for the Denver Broncos is one of them. Oh, Paxton Lynch, the Memphis kid. Oh, look out. And how long did he last before the Broncos went, that's enough. That's enough, right? I mean, it's not the first overall pick, but you would be trickling the league with a bunch of these 18-year-old kids, 19-year-old kids at every position, and they're just not ready for it. They just aren't. So I understand when people look at this and say, oh, man, he's ready now. Let's make it so he can go now. Let cooler heads prevail here. It's not going to kill him to play two more years at Clemson. Although, you know what? I have always said if you could get out of college football and still get a number one, being a number one pick, get out of college football. Don't give your services away that much. But he seems to enjoy it. He'll have a good time. He'll mature and grow and be well coached. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater here. I get it. He's a rare example of somebody who could probably go to the league right away. He seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater because it's just not gonna work overall. And you don't want your league that way. You just don't. Players Union ain't gonna want it either. And the NFL doesn't want it. The NCAA will be more than happy to support that. It's like the one and done in college basketball. People blame the NCAA for that. It's an NBA thing.
Yeah, and honestly, we want to give our NFL teams time to just tank on their own.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Breathe a little bit.
Way.
Yes, anticipate a player coming out so you can plan accordingly. Like the Steelers, I hope to God do, and pretty soon.
Or say the Chargers.
Say the Chargers.
They win a Super Bowl, need a quarterback.
Philip Rivers goes on to raise the eight kids after a Super Bowl championship.
And what better way to give it over to a guy with glorious hair? You know, I mean, you were talking earlier about his likeness, you know, is probably going to be exploited by the NCAA.
Oh, no doubt.
He won't see. We'll look back, and hopefully he doesn't do anything to his hair, because he will wrap up, or he will rake in all the shampoo money.
Oh, he's got tons of shampoo money coming his way. The day he announces to the world he's ready, he's going to get shampoo dollars.
Do you think he's receiving offers now?
Oh, right? They're like already planning.
Herbal Essence is already contacting him. I mean, Head and Shoulders will stay away just for right now, because we don't want to assume he has dandruff.
Right. No, not at all.
Not that glorious.
Not that glorious.
But you have to believe, like, Herbal. I mean, what was the company? There was who was Troy Polamalu?
Oh, he was Head and Shoulders.
That was Head and Shoulders. Okay. Yeah. Maybe they don't just do dandruff.
Maybe he's not.
I mean, you know, maybe it's just you and I who only equate Head and Shoulders to dandruff.
When I remember Head and Shoulders, I remember the commercials where the guy was sweeping it off his shoulder, right? Remember that? And Head and Shoulders prevents that.
Oh,
so
it must have been snowing on you, Tom.
That's right. Exactly. That was Head and Shoulders. So, yeah, he's got it all. He's got it all coming out. Don't ever cut that hair, Trevor Lawrence.
No.
That's
your look.
Make it your thing.
Trim it every once in a while. Get rid of those split ends.
That's right. Make it look good. Make it look good. Make the ladies go crazy.
That's right.
On the Clemson campus with your glowing locks of hair.
God, that guy does not. I mean, he doesn't even have to try for a date.
Nope, not at all.
That's just unfair.
No. This is the guy you want to bring home if you're a young co-ed in Clemson. You want to bring him home to dad, right? Dad's a big Clemson fan. Bring home the star quarterback.
If dad is a football fan.
If he is, he may not be.
You might have a computer nerd for dad and be like, oh, hey, cut that hair, hippie.
Yeah, I don't want you near my daughter, you hippie. Taking those mushrooms, doing is whatever you do.
Yeah, like, no,
oh,
dad,
no, I'm a clean athlete.
He's
no.
a football player. No, they're all dirty.
They're all awful.
Football's for the devil.
Man, I tell you, it's a good life if you can get it, right? If you can live up to the expectations. And he has. This is very LeBron-like, if you think about it. I mean,
it really is.
He was touted as a kid, like a little kid. He was highly touted.
Ninth grade, right?
He was
being sought after. I mean, he started all 4 years in high school.
Yeah, so like LeBron, where you go, okay, right, well, LeBron's really good, but maybe the next level he won't be at good, and then maybe the next level he won't, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh, no, wrong, he's going to be good. This kid's on a trajectory of living up to everything everybody has ever said about him, right, from ninth grade on up. Like people said, he was the number one recruit, and he was the number one recruit for a long time, even before he could graduate. Like there were people saying, the number one prospect is Trevor Lawrence, but he hasn't graduated high school yet. But he would be the number one prospect. Like that's how silly it was.
Yeah.
Like he was that good as a junior and sophomore and junior that people were saying, well, if he could graduate, he'd be the number one prospect now.
Has there been anyone in comparison? This,
I can't think of any. Like
this,
in football, I can't.
Kind of hype. I mean,
I don't follow the recruiting as well as I should. The only things that I know about is when, in retrospect, like when a performance like this, and they say, "Oh yeah, the guys that knew about this kid since ninth grade."
I mean, Peyton Manning, I guess, would be close because he was the number one overall pick.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
But I don't remember this much hype being surrounded by him as a freshman.
No, and he played as a freshman, and he went in as a freshman, but not on this level. Like literally, Dabo made the quarterback change, even though he was undefeated, because of he looked and said, "This is the skill set I want."
Yeah,
like this is what I want. It's not that Kelly Bryant can't go undefeated. It's that we don't. I think Trevor Lawrence can not only go undefeated, but give me the best chance to beat the certain teams I think I'm going to need
to fix. Not only give you the best chance, but Trevor Lawrence is the face of Clemson right now. Having Trevor Lawrence on your team and then going to recruit, you kidding me?
Are you absolutely? We've got the quarterback.
That makes his job easier. Just going out, finding any wide receiver he wants. Hey, I got a guy who can throw the ball to you.
I got a guy that will throw the ball to you in an NFL-like way.
Yes.
Right? In an NFL-like way, he'll throw that ball to you.
And that's anyone. You'll just eat that running up. Backs will want to go to Clemson. Defensive guys want to go to Clemson because they know it's like, all right, all we got to do our job. There's a guy on the other side of the ball who can do his job effectively and get us a W.
That's exactly right. This makes it a
title.
We've got our quarterback, and he's the best one in the game right now. And that's easy to recruit every other position that you want if you're Dabo Swinney. And boy, those kids, I mean, to their credit, they look like they're having a lot of fun at Clemson and don't mind sharing that. All right, we're going to talk Indianapolis Colts as they get ready for the Chiefs coming up at Arrowhead Stadium, SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, the Indianapolis Colts heading to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. Bob Kravitz covers the Colts for The Athletic to talk about this game and the Colts season where they started 1-5 and now find themselves in the divisional round of the AFC playoffs. Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm very good, man. How are you?
Good. All right, 1-5. So at that moment, what wasn't working for the Colts that is now working very well for them?
Well, the offensive line, for one thing, you know, Anthony Costanzo had been hurt. You know, they were the O-line was still not completely put together. The defense was still trying to figure out Matt Eberflus's system. Andrew Luck was not quite all the way back. They were losing some close games, some games they should have won. They felt like they should have been better than 1-5, but you are what your record says you are, as Parcells used to say.
Yep.
So, you know, they just were not playing well. They got rolled by the New York Jets in New York. But, you know, the schedule softened in the middle. Costanzo came back, and they got on this unbelievable roll.
You kind of touched on it. I was leading my next question. When they were 1-5, did they have a look of a good team that was just not winning games, or was it a team that you felt, all right, well, this might be a middle-of-the-road kind of football team?
Well, you know, before the season, I picked them to go 7-9. I figured after the 1-5 start, they'd probably go 6-4 the rest of the way, because I thought that, you know, Luck would start to come around. I felt like once Costanzo came back and solidified that O-line, they'd be okay. Plus, honestly, the schedule got really, really soft in the middle. So they were games they should win. But for them to go on this incredible run of 10 out of 11, I couldn't have seen that, you know, in any way, shape, or form. This has been completely shocking to those of us who make a living watching the Colts.
Bob, what was Andrew Luck going through in the year off during the rehab? What was he doing? How was his spirits? What was it like for him not to be on the field?
Well, you know, it's obviously devastating for him. I think like most young people and some of us who are middle-aged, you know, we wrap ourselves, the way we look at ourselves is wrapped very much into, you know, what we do for a living. And here was a 28-year-old guy who's, you know, looked at himself as a football player, even though he's got a lot of other elements to him. And the game got taken away. And so I think he was very down. He was struggling with it. He wondered if he'd ever play again. He went for the surgery. He went to the Netherlands to get some treatment. He just wanted to get out of the country and not be a distraction. So it was a very dark time for Andrew. And when he came back to this training camp and he was healthy again, he was like a new man. He was like a young kid playing Pop Warner football again for the very first time. Just his enthusiasm, his love for the game. And I think he's come back a better quarterback and a better teammate.
Frank Reich, what does he offer Andrew Luck? What, as a former quarterback now coaching this quarterback, what is their relationship? And is there any new wrinkles that Andrew's learning under Frank?
Well, yeah, I mean, the fact that Frank, you know, was a former quarterback, granted he was a backup, but a good backup, you know, they speak the same language. We see this with other quarterbacks and coaches who used to be quarterbacks. Frank has a swag about him that I think Andrew understands. And the thing that Frank has done is he's getting the ball out of Andrew's hands faster. His style of offense, it's not West Coast necessarily. They still take their shots, but it was very important to him, especially in Andrew's return year, to make sure that he was protected and that he got rid of the ball more quickly. And I think that that's been really a great thing for Andrew Luck. And, of course, it helps in your offensive line as a stone wall. And they've only given up a season low, a league low 18 sacks this season.
Marlon Mack is the running back. How is that incorporated into the offense when we think Andrew Luck throwing the ball all the time? What does Mack being able to run the ball, how much do they use it, and how important is it?
Well, when the entire offensive line is healthy, and they are right now, they average 150 yards per game on the ground and about 5 yards per carry, and most of that has been Marlon Mack. Marlon Mack last year played with a bum shoulder. Every time he got the ball, he tried to bounce it outside. He was a guy who would go for 1 yard, a loss of two, a gain of three, and then a gain of 35. So very inconsistent, kind of a backup, change-up back to Frank Gore, who was here at the time. This year, he's a different runner. He's become more of the primary back, three-down guy. And he's learned how to be patient, hit holes, and put his foot in the ground and get it north-south. He's not bouncing everything outside any longer. So he's become a very, very productive back for them.
Bob Kravitz joins us from The Athletic, covers the Indianapolis Colts as they get ready for the Kansas City Chiefs coming up this weekend at Arrowhead Stadium. What can we take away from the defense? We're going to look at Kansas City, and they've got that offense, and they've got Patrick Mahomes. What about the Colts defense, and how do you think they react to that?
Well, this is going to be interesting. You know, the Colts have had the best defense in the NFL the last 11 weeks. They're giving up 16.4 points per game. That said, they have not faced anything like City Chiefs. In fact, the Colts have faced just one top 10 offense all year. That was the New England Patriots, and the Patriots put 38 on them. But granted, that was during that 1-5 slide. In this stretch of 11 games, they faced just two top 14 quarterbacks in Watson and Prescott. So they've been very good. The whole's been greater than the sum of its parts, but they haven't seen anything like Patrick Mahomes and 50 touchdown passes and 5,000 yards, number one in the league in virtually every offensive category.
I want to get back to Luck because I know that, you know, when Peyton Manning was there, he was the face of the city and we recognized him before he went off to Denver. Does Luck have that now? Is he fully own that kind of what Manning used to have in that town?
Not yet. I think it's close. You know, it was really a very seamless transition. I think Andrew was one of the very few people who could have made that transition seamless because Andrew is very comfortable in his own skin. He's got his own personality, much different from Peyton, I should add. But he's his own guy. But I don't think he'll own this town until he does what Peyton does, and that is win a championship. And he's the face of the franchise. They love what he's done. I still go back and think that they made the right move many years ago when they let Peyton walk, and they cast their lot with Andrew Luck. But as far as owning the town, he's the guy, he's the face of the franchise, but he doesn't have the hold on Indianapolis. He's not a made man the way that Peyton Manning is a made man in Indy.
Got it. Bob Kravitz, again, The Athletic, covering the Colts, and that is Colts and Chiefs coming up on Saturday in the AFC divisional round. Bob, great stuff. Thank you so much, as always. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Got it. Bob Kravitz, again, The Athletic. Interesting. I mean, we were just talking about Trevor Lawrence, right? We were just talking about if you're a team and you need a quarterback and you're struggling at that position, you would want in 2021, you'd want the number one pick to get this kid. He looks good already. And if he continues to look this good, he could be like Andrew Luck was in college, right? Where you're just salivating over the opportunity. And to watch the Colts, like there are teams that just get lucky, whether it's the Cleveland Cavaliers just happening to get the number one pick in the NBA draft when LeBron James was coming out, the Akron kid, right? Here were the Colts with Peyton Manning, and Manning is done with a neck injury, and he's out for a year. And what do? They get the number one pick to go get another franchise quarterback. That is not common in the NFL. That is very, very rare. You know, as a Steelers fan, I know that the end for Ben Roethlisberger is going to be coming soon. I don't know what the Steelers are going to look like after that, right? I don't know if Josh Dobbs plays really well, or they get somebody else, or however their quarterback looks. I don't know what it's going to look like. But I am prepared as an NFL fan, and I know many of you are too that have had franchise quarterbacks. I know many of you are in the same boat. You know when the end comes, it's very rare that that transitions to another guy. Green Bay had it with Brett Favre going into Aaron Rodgers, but it's really rare. You have a couple of years where the Dallas Cowboys, you could say, got it with Tony Romo and Dak Prescott, but we're still not really 100% sure on Prescott. But the reality of it is that usually there's a period of time where you kind of struggle with that position a little bit. Guy feels his way out. Maybe he's not as good as you think or whatever. Denver's struggling ever since Peyton Manning left. They've not found a quarterback. Nobody's working, right? Whether it's Trevor Siemian, whether it was Brock Osweiler, nobody is working. Nobody, right? Case Keenum comes in. Nothing. Their draft picks aren't working, right? Nothing is working for Denver since they've lost Peyton Manning. And the Colts get a long period of time with Peyton Manning before in a championship, and then they move on, and now they've got Andrew Luck. And you can't ask for a better scenario at the quarterback position. And what was the one thing they had to sacrifice to get this? What was the one thing they had to sacrifice? A one year at like 1-15, right? Or 2-40, whatever they were the year they got the pick. That's the only thing they had to do, right? How many of you out there would do that for a year? Right? Buy your season tickets, put up with crappy football, still go out and pay money for parking, still knowing that the possibility is you'll go from excellence to crap to excellence again. And that's the price you pay. Well, I think every one of us would take it.
We've been talking about it all morning. How many of you guys out there are willing to do it 2 years from now?
Yep. 2 years from now. Go 1-15 2 years from now and then see how your fortunes change.
I mean, because think about some of the other, well, I guess the Cowboys already had Aikman when they went 1-15, but
right.
But look how that one turned out.
Yeah, I mean, exactly right. I mean, you can't get good in this league without being bad. It's really hard for teams to just constantly reload, right? Some teams are able to do it. The Patriots are able to do it, but there's always that consistency of Brady and Belichick, right? Everything else is built into the system of, it doesn't even matter who you are. When you come and play for our system, this is what we turn you into. But the reality of it is one day Brady's going to leave, and that dichotomy is going to be broken. And when it's broken, what do they do?
If it happens to be that Brady leaves 2 years from now and the Patriots are the fortunate ones, I'm quitting football.
I'm quitting football is right. 100%. I'd be done with this.
Done.
I'd be done with this. Can you imagine? I want to know.
I want to imagine.
I wouldn't be surprised. Listen to this crazy theory of mine. You know what? I'm going to tell you coming back. I'm going to tell you because it's going to be long and I don't want to bump it. All right. I'll tell you my crazy conspiracy thought coming up next on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, here's my theory. Here's my conspiracy theory. Not really conspiracy, but strategic for the Patriots. Remember when the Patriots would get rid of a guy or trade a guy and they would always get some late pick? You know, and you'd be like, oh my God, what do they want to pick in 2021 for? Do you think Bill Belichick looked and said, okay, it's a kid in Cartersville, Georgia, that I think is a great quarterback at ninth grade. Let's see. He's going to graduate here. He's going to go to school. He's going to get 2021. Let me just get some draft picks in 2021. So he's like negotiating, like, all right, you know what? Just give me a draft pick in 2021. That's okay. And they're like, why would you want a draft pick so late? So has anybody checked to see how many Patriots draft picks they've gotten in 2021 when Trevor Lawrence comes out?
Right now, because I right? would not put that past him at all.
Like, would Belichick? Of course, Belichick would be like, okay, wait a minute. I know when this kid's going to leave. He's going to be available in the draft, and this is probably going to go. And you know what? I will. It's like buying stock of a company you know is going to explode, but nobody knows about. All right, just give me 1,000 shares. And you know it's going to take off like cryptocurrency or something crazy like that. I'm sure Belichick was like, oh, you know what? Throw in a 2021 draft pick and you got a deal. He's just stockpiling all of them. they're like, holy cow, the Patriots have 6 draft picks in the first round of the 2021 draft.
No, unfortunately, that's
That did not work. That has not worked yet.
They just
okay.
have their traditional 7.
All right, very good. All right, so that didn't work out. But, you know, that's the new strategy, right? That's going to be the new strategy. Find the 9th grader that's lighting up high school football and then anticipate when he's going to be available for the draft. Figure out how old your quarterback is and then start stockpiling it like
it's
stock.
It's still early. I mean, we don't know how many picks he's going to have coming up.
That's very true. That's very, very true.
I mean, because he already has coming up for this next draft. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Yeah,
that's right. He has 11 draft picks for the 2019 draft.
All right. So maybe he'll just transfer. I go, you know, it does good.
Yeah, he might, you know.
Give him away. 2021. Just 2021 is good.
Yeah, that 6th-round pick he got for the Lions. You know what? I don't really want that one.
Yeah, completely.
we'll just put that into a 2021 pick.
Can't wait. I love this story. I absolutely love this story.
I mean, we've talked about this. I mean, players, you know, everyone, like you said, Gil Brandt said, you know, hey, everyone stock up on 2020 picks. Who wouldn't want to just say, hey, I got 10 2021 picks. You can have them all for that number one pick.
I know. You can have all. Yes, exactly. And like the Arizona Cardinals are picking like 1 through 2 through 11, right? Trevor Lawrence. God bless you, man. You're like, God bless you, dude. You're a freshman, and you're already changing the way we're thinking about drafts.
You don't think teams would have done that for LeBron, knowing what they know now?
No kidding!
So you know this now.
Exactly. SB Nation Radio.